On episode 634 of the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast, we bring back Brian Grinn and discuss his book, The Stepladder System, Six Steps to Lifelong Health and Vitality. You can find the full show notes for this episode at 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/634. Have you decided you're ready to make a change? To reclaim your health and fitness, the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast is here for you. Each week, we dive deep into health and fitness topics that affect those of us over 40. I'm Coach Allen. I'm an NASM certified personal trainer with specializations in corrective exercise, behavior change, performance enhancement, and fitness nutrition. A precision nutrition level 1 coach, a FAI certified functional aging specialist, and an OTA level 2 online trainer. Each week, I'm joined by our co-host, Coach Rachel. She is an NASM certified personal trainer and a RRCA level 1 run coach. Let us be your coaches as you find your way on your health and fitness journey. All right, let's go. Hi there, I'm Coach Allen. If you're over 40 and struggling to shed those extra pounds, I'm here to tell you there's a better way, a path to lasting weight loss and a healthier you. I understand where you are all too well. You've tried countless diets and exercise programs that have promised quick fixes, only to be disappointed and left feeling defeated. It's frustrating, and at times, you probably feel a little hopeless. Even when you manage to lose some weight, it comes right back when you can't stick to the strict diet or intense workouts. I'm here to offer you something different, something that actually works. It's not a fad diet or a miracle pill. It's not a cookie cutter workout program. It's a transformative journey towards a healthier and happier you. Imagine losing 15 pounds, 30 pounds, or even more, full of energy and living life to the fullest. Doesn't that sound like the journey you want to take? Well, I'm here for you. I now have 3 openings in my Shed the Weight program. You'll work directly with me to build the plan that's right for you. And I guarantee that you'll lose all of the weight you want and build a lifestyle that will help you keep it off. But time is of the essence. I can really only take 3 more clients, and then my roster is full. Email me at coach@40plusfitness.com. We're going to figure this out for you. So what are you waiting for? Take action now. If you're ready to invest in yourself, to break free from the cycle of failed attempts, and to finally achieve the results you've been longing for, email me, coach@40plusfitness.com. You don't have to do this alone. With the right guidance, support, and accountability, your weight loss goals can become reality. Email me right now, coach@40plusfitness.com. And let's make 2024 the year you lose the weight and transform your life for good. Welcome, Raz.
Hey, Alan. How are you today?
I'm doing all right. A lot going on for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to say I'm busy.
You're always busy, Alan. You got a lot going on.
I don't even know how people get bored. For the love of God, just a boring day. Could I have a boring day, please? But no, Well, Tammy's got a sinus infection and it's impacted, so she's going to have to go through this surgery. So she's over in Panama City. She wasn't sure she'd need the surgery to start with, but she met with them and they're like, yes, you absolutely need the surgery. So they're trying to get that scheduled and the insurance and everything else. And so nothing's happening nearly as fast as we want it to. She's already been there almost a week, and she has to stay a week after the surgery. So not knowing when the surgery is going to be, and then another week after that. And every time she leaves, we fill up. So not that I want her to be gone, but Lula's makes a lot more money when my wife's not here.
That's crazy.
Handily spending it in Panama City, but that's okay. Other thing is, you know, I did want to be on other podcasts to try to get out there. And so I've scheduled over 30 interviews and those are going on. And if you're interested in any of those or want to see what I've done, you can go to 40plusfitness.com/media, and that'll take you to my media appearances page. I've got all of those in there. As they go live, you'll be able to see what I'm on, and then you can either click through there to go to the episode or just try to find that episode on your podcast listener of choice, because they're all out there. And then, check them out, because awesome. it's an opportunity for me to work on my messaging, to understand things. And they're all a little different because it's just different perspectives of different people asking questions. So it's a lot of fun. It does take time. But at the same time, I wanted to put that out there so more people kind of got the word what we're doing here. So I'm enjoying that. But it, yeah, awesome. Busy. Busy is still the word of the day.
Oh, gosh, Alan. Well, I'm glad to hear Lula's is busy, but I hope you get to have a few minutes to yourself soon.
Well, I do prioritize my sleep. So I do shut the door and I do go to sleep and I sleep very well. So I am getting my sleep. There's other things that aren't getting done and I'm a little frustrated with it, but I can't be frustrated. It is what it is. So I apologize if you've been adversely affected by my inability to get everything done, but it is what it is.
It is.
So how are things up there?
Good. We just wrapped up maple syrup season. So personally, I'm kind of glad we put an end to that. So we did, we finished our last boil over the weekend. And between the two weekends of boiling sap into syrup, I think we netted almost 3 gallons of maple syrup, which we promptly hand off to our friends and family. So yeah, it's just enough.
I saw something the other day. Is it like 45 gallons of the sap to make the syrup?
Roughly. I would say anywhere between 30 to 40 to one, but yeah,
wow.
Yeah, somewhere around there. Yeah. It's a long process. So we started a little bit of boiling on Saturday, maybe a couple hours worth, but then on Sunday we started at about 10:30 in the morning. We boiled outside until about 8:30 at night. And then one more hour on the stove in the kitchen where we could monitor the temperature and the viscosity a little bit better. And then we had them in the can by 9:30, which we sterilized. So boil the jars and can it properly. So it's vacuum sealed and everything. And then I finally finished cleaning up my maple syrup kitchen at about 10 o'clock at night. And then I promptly fell asleep as soon as my head hit the pillow. It's a long day. It really is. But it's a lot of fun to share so that people actually see how the process is done and get to taste it from right from the tree, right from as it's getting boiled, although not while it's boiling. But yeah, it's a fun day and delicious.
Good. Mm-hmm. That's exciting. All right. Well, are you ready to talk to Brian?
Sure.
Our guest today is a wellness coach, podcast host, author, human movement specialist, and personal trainer. With no further ado, here's Brian Grin. Brian, welcome back to 40 Plus Fitness.
Alan, thanks for having me.
I was recently on your podcast too, so it's been really cool. The book we're going to talk about today is called The Stepladder Plan, 6 Steps to Lifelong Health and Vitality. And I just want to congratulate you. It's not a long book, but it captures a really good approach to health and fitness that really, in my mind, makes it much more accessible to people who just think, okay, this is not rock. Well, it is rocket science. Our bodies are very, very complex, but here's a simple plan. Follow these 6 steps. And you spend a good bit of time on the front end, which is really good, kind of get defining why a lot of this is going to work the way it's going to work and why we can actually take a simple approach and make it work.
Yeah. And I mean, I think with the whole idea with the book is to make sure that the person takes action. There's a lot of information out there and that's all great. But like, if you don't do anything with that information, it doesn't really mean anything. And so I think I almost like to call it like a workbook because it helps. You have to fill it out. You know, you give yourself a score on certain things and make sure that you're sort of moving in the right direction.
It's like steps. Yeah. Step ladder.
There you go.
You know, one of the things that I like to do at the front, and this is, I think this is really important because we often lose sight of progress because we're so, you know, we just ignore the fact that this is going to be hard. There's going to be some challenges. Some things are going to not go the way we want them to. But you just nip that in the bud. You're like, let's just get those out of the way at the beginning of this. And you had, I think it was 11 of them. And I do want to go through them because I think these are really important concepts that if we just try to ignore them and say, okay, well, what diet should I do and how should I move? And, or, you know, I want to exercise to lose the weight and you don't address these, it's often going to be the thing that kind of stops you. And if you're not looking for it, it's definitely going to stop you. So I'm going to go over each of them and I just want you to talk a little bit about them and a little bit about what we can do to address those. So the first one is if you don't have a reason why, you're unlikely to succeed.
Yeah. obviously I put it as number one for, because it's probably the one of the more important things that I think gets overlooked, especially I think maybe even more by males than females, is just understanding and grasping a hold of like why you're actually wanting to make a change. And a lot of times you get into like diets and exercise, or you try to change habits, but you don't really focus on, you know, the reasoning behind that. A lot of times, and I think it's another bullet point that I come up with is like people wait till it's almost too late, or they wait till something like an emergency happens, or they go to the doctor says something, and then that gives them that sort of driving force to make them take action. But I think it's important, you want to be proactive, understand and come up with reasonings behind why you want to do this, and not just sort of wait for someone else to tell you to do it.
Yeah. You know, I say it all the time, because someone will come and say, hey, Alan, I want to lose 25 pounds. I'm like, okay, well, why? It's like, well, because I need to lose 25 pounds. And I'm like, well, then what?
Right.
You know, and it's like, well, you know, I'll have lost 25 pounds and the world will be great. And you'll, you know, your life will just, no, there's usually got to be a deeper reason, a deeper why. You know, it could be a health concern. It could be that really you just don't feel good. But typically there's got to be something deeper than just the weight loss, because that's never going to compel us to stick with it. So I definitely agree. That is probably the number one. Okay. Yeah. The next one then you had was, old bad habits don't go quietly.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we can all relate with this, right? You have create these habits by nature. And I think that it's important to understand that, like, what are habits that are serving you and what are habits are not serving you? And we all have both, right? But changing these habits is very difficult. I think more difficult than people understand. And this is just something I talk about, you know, that I think it's just more of less being aware of it and understanding that it's not about having every perfect habit in the world, but creating some type of balance. And I think people get into problems when they try to change a bunch of habits all at once. And I think that's where sort of the stepladder system comes into play, where we just take one thing at a time. And once we get that habit under control, or we change that habit, then we move on to the next one, as opposed to just trying to do it all at once and then nothing ever really gets done.
I had one client and she told me, she said one day she was just sitting in her kitchen. She came home from work and this was just a pattern. She said, I didn't even know I was doing it. I would grab the mail, I would toss the mail on the counter, and I'd open the refrigerator. So those were the first two things I did after I got in the house. I walked directly to the kitchen, dropped the mail on the counter, and opened the refrigerator. And she said, I was standing there with the refrigerator open, not even hungry, not even really aware of the reason I opened the refrigerator, other than the fact that I knew that I did that every single day when I came home from work.
Yeah. And, you know, the fact that she finally became aware of that is so important, right? I think we do so many things subconsciously, but aware of the fact that we're doing them. So there's a lot of cues that come in, you know, like people sit down on the couch, that's a cue. Okay, I'm going to go grab popcorn, or, you know, grab something, you know, if they go watch a movie, they want to, you know, sort of grab a Coca-Cola or whatever it is. Like, there's, you have these cues that go on. And so I think, yeah, becoming self-aware is the first step.
Yeah. Another client, she told me she called her sister every evening, and they talk every evening, where they were twins. But she'd call her sister, and then both of them would open up a Pepsi and then have their call. It was like every single night time. That was the have a Pepsi and have a call. And so she, you know, they figure that out and it's like, well, I don't want you to not call your sister, but how do we break that down so that it doesn't involve a Pepsi, at least on your side, if you don't want to have a Pepsi? And that was kind of hard to break. It didn't go quietly. She stuck with her Pepsis for quite some time.
Did she? Yeah. Yeah. And I think replacing it, right, taking that habit that you want, like a Pepsi, maybe replacing that with, I don't know if you did that, Alan, but maybe like a sparkling water or whatever it is. Sometimes that helps. Yeah.
Yeah. She did a herbal tea. That became her go-to was, okay, I'll have an herbal tea and I'll sit with the tea and talk to my sister. And that worked out. She finally got off of her Pepsis. The next one was, consistent action is the key to results.
Yeah. I could almost put this as number one.
Yeah.
Now that I'm looking at this.
This one probably wouldn't happen. If you don't have a why, it's really hard to stay consistent. But then, yes,
right,
consistency is one of those key things we have to have.
Yeah, I almost think, like, for myself, like, this is what has gotten me to just like all the things that I want to achieve in my life, both, you know, in health and fitness and work. Like, it's just the consistent aspect of it. I think that, like, I'm not like a bodybuilder or anything, but like, I was blessed to start resistance training fairly early. Now kids start even earlier, but I would think I was 17 years old. And it was like 3 days a week, like clockwork, for a long time. Now I've maybe changed it up a little bit, but like, it wasn't like I think people maybe look at me, I'm in my 40s, you know, I feel like I'm in good shape, but like, they're like, well, what did you do? And it's like, well, there wasn't anything like groundbreaking that I did. I just stayed consistent for a long period of time. I mean, that was it. And I think some people try to do it like gung-ho New Year's Eve resolution. I'm going to be in the gym 6 days a week, but that's not long-term and sustainable for most people. And so they end up stopping.
Yeah. And that consistency also addresses the second one, because if you start replacing bad habits with good habits, and that's what consistency does, consistency builds habit. And so, yeah, they're all three kind of related there. Then the next one is doing too much at once will break the mission.
Yeah. I mean, this goes back to sort of just like that stepladder system approach, right? Like, I find this out even for myself, just on a daily, I don't know about you, Alan, but like on a daily basis, where I'm trying to like toggle between a bunch of things, and I have to like take a step back and be, okay, let's just do one thing and get it done, right? Like, I find that more and more that's becoming a little bit difficult for me sometimes with work, is trying to do it all at once, as opposed to just getting one thing done at a time. And that's all I'm talking about really here.
Yeah, it was funny because there was this young guy here at the bed and breakfast. And so, yeah, this week my wife went to a music festival and get her car worked on. So she was gone, which means that I'm running my two coaching businesses and the bed and breakfast. And one of the guests, he's a younger guy, he says, be willing to come up and do an interview with me. I do this show where, you know, and I'm like, sure, sure. His show is it's like talking to old people about what it's like to be old. So yeah, there I am. What's it like to be old? Was the actual kind of the interview. Yeah. but it's cool. So then we get done and he says, well, you know, are you on, what's your Instagram? And he didn't say it. He's just like asking for a phone number. It was not like, you know, okay, of course you're on Instagram. And I'm thinking, you know, dang it, I probably need to get my businesses on Instagram at some level, but I know nothing about the platform. And so I'm like, okay, I start watching a YouTube video and it's like, rabbit hole of, oh, well, there's reels and there's carousels and there's this and there's that. I'm like, okay. And so I'm just sitting there, that's even today. I'm like, okay, I just need to learn one thing at a time, because it was just too easy for them to sit there and say, well, there's carousels, there's reels. Okay, well, I don't even know how to make a reel. She makes it sound like, okay, well, let's just do it. It's easy. I'm like, so now I've got to look at another video on how to do that. And then she starts talking about carousels. I'm like, oh crap, carousels. How do you
yes, no.
And we do that with health and fitness because we're like, well, of course I have to exercise to lose weight. And of course I have to eat this certain thing or that certain thing. And of course I got to do this and I got to do that. But I like this is because you can sit down and just say, okay, the first mission
could be, I'm going to walk twice a day. Until you can consistently do that, maybe give yourself like a few weeks or even a month. You know, habits, you know, I know there's research around how long it takes us to get a habit to stick. And it's I think I've seen like 21 to 66 days, depending on the person and everything else. But I think you'd maybe just give yourself a month and do that morning walk, evening walk. And once you get that down, okay, now I'm going to eliminate snacking. So I think that's a good place to, you know, if you want to do two at a time, that's fine. But I'm just saying, I think you really want to sort of get it so you get these small wins and you create these habits before you just start moving on to the next thing.
I completely agree with that. Okay, the next one is you will lose patience with your progress.
Yeah, I think this is just about giving yourself forgiveness in a sense, like already understanding that, you know, you might not get to where you want to go right away, right? Like that's just the way it is. It's like barely do people are like, oh, I'm going to lose this much, or I'm going to lose inches, and it just happens. It's quicker than they actually think it's going to happen. Usually it takes longer than you think it's going to happen. Because if you think about it, let's just say you've put on, let's just say 20 pounds. Well, those 20 pounds didn't just appear over a few months, right? This could be honestly, it could be a decade or maybe, you know, five, 10 years to put on that weight. And now you're wanting to get rid of that weight in 3 to 6 months. So I think you just have, this is just about being realistic and understanding that it's probably going to take longer than you think.
Yeah. I've seen some clients that needed to lose a lot of weight and they come in and like the first week, because they've done a few little things, they lose like 5 pounds. And then in their head, they're looking and say, well, I needed to lose 60 and I lost 5 in 1 week. And they start doing the math and they're right. Like, I'm going to get this done. And then the next week they lose 2. They're angry. They're disappointed that they didn't lose another 5 pounds the second week. And then the third week, they only lose 1. And now they're just livid. It's like, this isn't working. They've lost 9 pounds in 3 weeks and they're upset with the progress. It's mind boggling.
And I equate it to golf. Like, I don't know if you golf, Alan. You live on a beautiful island, but you know, I'm a big golfer and I equate it to, okay, let's say you're a 20 handicap and you want to get down to a 5 handicap. Well, going from a 20 handicap to like a 12 handicap is probably going to happen faster than you think, maybe. But if you put the time, I mean, that's a big jump. But to get from like a 12 to a 5 is even more difficult and it's going to take you more time. Potentially, I can tell you from personal experience, you know, I've been single digits for a while. Getting from like a 3 to a 0 is very difficult, you know. So it's like those progressions get more difficult, like the better you get. And sort of the same thing with weight loss and things like that.
And it's almost never a straight line. Even with your golf there, it's like you might go out and have this great session. And you're like, man, I just dropped it. I just did, you know, 2 over. I like this. And then you go back the next time and you're back to 3 and you're like, crap, what am I doing wrong? And it's, you're not doing anything wrong. You just have to stick with it and stay consistent. So, you know, those first lessons, the why and the consistency, those still apply. You just now have to be patient with what you knowing you're doing the right thing, even though you might not be seeing the results that you believe you should be seeing. So the next one is, it's natural for your weight loss to plateau. So very similar.
Mm-hmm. And this is just more or less like, you know, if you've had a body weight sort of set point for a while, getting it down is difficult. And it's going to be natural for your body to want to go back up to that set point. And so I just think that it's very difficult sometimes. And this goes back to just what we were talking about, was it's probably going to take you longer than you think. And you just sort of have to be patient. And also understand the fact that, you know, if you are like in your 40s and 50s, that your set point weight might never get back to where it was when you were 30 years old. And I think people have that in their mind because time goes so fast. You're like, oh, I can get back to where I was. And for some people, it's doable. But I think most importantly, other than I know we talk a lot about weight, is more like health, right? Like weight is obviously one aspect of health. Obviously, if you have a lot of, let's just say, visceral fat, that's not healthy. But there's other things that should equate to health other than just talking about weight. So I think that's also important to keep in mind.
Yeah. One of the ways I explained it to one of my clients, I was like, okay, let's say you're climbing a mountain and then you come up on a ridge and you're walking across this ridge to get back to a point where you can actually start climbing again. If you stop walking, you're no longer climbing at all. And a lot of people will just start coming down the mountain. they say, well, I wasn't climbing. I wasn't going up. So it wasn't climbing anymore. And I'm like, no, it's just that consistency and the sticking with it and being patient. You work your way through that ridge and then there'll be a point where you potentially can be climbing again. But you just have to stick with it. And that's why, and one of the things I like that you bring up in the book is just make this more lifestyle based than a one-time project. And that makes this a lot easier.
Yeah. And like you said, just every week might not be great, but as long as you're doing something that's moving you in the right direction, because I always go back to I guess it's a great book, and The Slight Edge, Jeff Olson. I don't know if you've read it, Alan. Great book.
I haven't yet.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. He just talks about, I recommend time will either expose you or you'll be able to capitalize. Like it's going to expose you either good or bad. And so if you sort of get back into those old habits, then time is sort of exposing you for the bad. And if you continually just try to do a little bit every week, you know, you're going to put time on your side eventually.
I almost want to skip this next one because I get so angry talking about this. But government guidelines have failed.
Yeah, I mean, you got the food pyramid, right? I mean, yeah. You know, this goes back to, you know.
Let's just call it the General Mills pyramid, okay?
Yeah, and I'm looking at it right now. I mean, just looking at it and seeing the bottom, which is the biggest part of the pyramid, and it's, we got rice and pasta and breads and, you know, and sugar and flour. You know, I don't think we need to go a ton of detail. And I'm sure the educated audience knows that majority of your diet really shouldn't be coming from that. You know, these are just processed grains. And then next up on the list above that is, you know, then we're getting into the vegetables and the fruits, you know. So if you sort of eliminate, honestly, like, even for myself, like, I don't even think I incorporate much grains at all into my diet anymore. So if you could probably flip that table, that guideline upside down, I think you'll be best off.
I believe so too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like I said, I can't say anymore because I just get so frustrated when I see how the government does this, and then they start feeding our kids that way in school, and then that becomes the normal way everybody's eating. It is what it is. But all right. Yeah. The next one is, we change when things get urgent.
Yeah, and I talked about this early on. I think urgency can put people into action. So I think if you can try to find a way to create this urgency, but without actually having it be like an emergency, right? Like, it's almost like, one thing I would say is, like, pick a deadline. I think picking deadlines are great. Or, like we talked about, Alan, I know you did this when going through your weight loss journey, is, you know, you had those races that were sort of looming. So I think it's great to sort of pick something like that out, like a race or just some type of deadline that puts you into action. And I think that can go a long way.
Yeah. And it can be as simple as saying, you know, my next birthday, because I just turned 58, my next birthday, I'll be 59. So for me to say, I want to be able to accomplish a certain thing before I turn 59, I've thought about some things that I did when I was 29 and can I recreate that at 59? What would that look like? I'm still not sure I want to commit to that right now. But yes, it's just about creating this maybe big audacious goal that is urgent. You have to do the work today if you're going to be able to do the thing then. I agree with that. I think that can be very driving and just another why. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, that emotional, but it can just be a challenge that you set for yourself. So really good. Okay. The next one is, this is a journey.
Yeah. And this sort of equates everything that we sort of talked about is I think if you can just understand your mind that there's not just going to be like an end, like we talked about creating a deadline, I think that helps put you into action. But then when that deadline, when that you come up to that deadline, then picking another thing to sort of keep you moving. I think it's important, like you talk about, like signing up for an event or maybe doing a 5K or whatever it is, like putting that out there, I think will help hold you accountable and put you into action. And once you hit that obstacle that you put in your way and you completed it, you did that race or whatever it was, then maybe put another one out there until you feel like it's become habitual. Because I just think about, like, myself, I'm not training really for anything other than my own health. And it's just become somewhat of an addiction, and I enjoy it. It's a weekly thing for me. I don't have a race to look towards, but this is over years of consistency. So I think it's important to put those, like, races or obstacles in your way that you have to get to until it becomes habitual. And then you probably won't need to.
Well, even then, I would just say, just if you just look at the aging curve that's coming at us, you know, we're in our 40s and 50s. And as we kind of go to this, we just know there's going to be those moments. And the more resilient we are when we get to that point, the easier it's going to be for us to get through that point. You know, we saw this with COVID. It was the comorbidities that were the true risk factor around COVID. And, you know, those folks that didn't have those comorbidities, they fared better than the ones that did. Age was a factor, but comorbidities seemed to be a big part of all of that. And so just knowing that that's a part of all of this, if we can keep those from happening. Mm-hmm. So it's not that it's an event. It's almost like a negative event, but we know something like that will come. And so just making yourself, preparing yourself to be better, I think puts you in a good frame of mind to say, I don't have to have a race in front of me. life is going to give me a race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. And then the next one, and I agree, this is probably one where people might struggle with it, particularly if they have family, but is a killer in the pantry.
Yeah. Vegetable oils. You know, you've had a podcast for a while. I've had one for a while, and you have different guests on, some with different views around vegetable oils, honestly. But just from my thoughts regarding it, I just think that it's something that some of it's not fully understood, but there is evidence to show that it could promote weight gain, inflammation, and especially when it's at high heat. So cooking with vegetable oils is like the double whammy. So I just think a lot of this could be just come down to is, you know, taking those out. And there's so many other options now to cook with that it's really not difficult. Like I've been cooking with coconut oil for a while now, and it's great. I mean, and it's a very neutral taste profile. So you can, I find some people can taste it more than others. I find I can cook almost anything with it. And when you're using these saturated fats, they're so much more stable when they're exposed to high heat. So you're not even exposing yourself to the possible inflammation that be coming from heating up vegetable oils. So this is just something that I think people can change, and it's not a, it shouldn't be a big deal to change.
Yeah, I think we might have some vegetable oils somewhere in our pantry. I don't go to that part of the pantry. Yeah. I've got my own little part of the pantry where I have some avocado oil and I have some coconut oil and a little bit of olive oil, but that's usually just for a salad. All right. So the next thing is, and this is, we had you on for the first podcast because it was an opportunity to talk about this. I haven't actually talked about intermittent fasting in maybe a year, you know, maybe over a year at all. It's sort of one of those things that was very, very popular back when we had our podcast like almost five years ago. And now you're coming back with it. Say, hey, it's still a good strategy. It's still a good thing. Can you talk a little bit about intermittent fasting?
And I will say this, when I came onto your show in 2018, my views have changed around fasting. I think at some point, you know, we all have views that get changed a little bit, especially if we're in the health game long enough. And this one it has, but I felt like I should put it in the book because I think it's a valuable tool that people can utilize. I think maybe when we talked in 2018, I thought it was like, oh, this is for everybody. So I don't necessarily totally agree with that. I think that, but what it does, I think the pros of doing some type of fasting is, one, it gives you sort of boundaries. And I think for some people, that's really valuable. And boundaries, and I talk about it, it's not about, you know, saying, oh, well, how long can I go? It's more about just saying, okay, I like with a lot of my clients, create these bumpers throughout the day. It's like bumper bowling where you got the bumpers on each side. You got, so like not eating too late and not getting up and eating the second you get up. Like those two things, I think can be sort of non-negotiables. And then the rest sort of is up to you. But from that standpoint, it gives you boundaries around eating. And I think that's important because let's just take cutting off eating at, let's just say 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock, maybe give yourself maybe at least three hours before you go to sleep. That alone helps with digestion, will help with sleep quality, get, you know, sort of that your blood sugar and insulin down to a better level, as opposed to just like laying down right after you eat sort of thing. So I think that alone is big. And so I talk about this in the book, and, you know, I used to be a little bit more into fasting, but I will say what I learned from it is that, you know, if you are in a situation where there's going to be, let's say you're going on an airplane or you're traveling and you're just around food that's not really going to serve you, you sort of know, it's just a confidence. Okay, I don't need to eat this because I've done this before. I can skip this meal for a few hours and maybe have something when I get back, sort of thing. And I like it from that standpoint, almost like the mental side as well. So yeah, we talk about it and we just sort of talk about taking a stepladder approach to doing some type of fasting. And I think it can be beneficial as a tool.
I naturally intermittent fast. I don't even think about it that way anymore. We're recording this. It's 11:30 for me here. I haven't had any food today. I woke up, I had some things I needed to get done, and here I am doing this podcast. I get off of this one, I'm in another one. I think there's a gap there. I do have to sometimes schedule eating, put it on my calendar so I don't book anything. So I actually think, and okay, I guess I need to eat now, because if I don't eat, I won't eat today at all. What I do like about intermittent fasting, I'm not a fan of full fasting. Like if you wanted to try to do several days in a row, you need to have some medical attention to make sure that you're okay, because that might not be good for you. But intermittent fasting is one of those things where I think you get to play with hunger. And we've almost all been taught that being hungry is bad. But being hungry is sort of like walking into a room and being a little cold, or walking outside and being a little hot. It's a feeling. It's your body's experiencing its environment. Mm-hmm. This environment is that there just isn't any food in your stomach right now. Granted, if you're starting to feel blood sugar issues and things like that, that's different. That's not hunger. That's actual blood sugar. You probably need to eat. But being a little hungry is not a bad thing. It's just a feeling. And I think people get afraid of ever being hungry and thinking, well, then I'm going to go in the kitchen and eat everything. I'm like, no, that's a decision. If you go in the kitchen and eat everything, being a little hungry is nothing to be afraid of.
I know people are afraid of like binging and things like that, which I totally get. I mean, that's why I talk about, well, one, you want to ease your way into whatever type of fasting. And fasting can look different. I mean, you could start with fasting. And that could be just like eliminating snacking. If you eat breakfast at 9 or whatever, 8, 9 o'clock, and then just work on giving yourself 3 to 4 hours between each meal. I mean, that could be your type of fasting, and there's nothing wrong with that. And so, yeah, I do think it was a big sort of hyped up overall health benefit. And I think people have found benefit from it for sure. But I do think, like anything else, it can be overdone. Yeah. And there could be problems that go along with that. So I think you just got to, if you're going to do some type of fasting, just ease yourself into it.
And that's what I say. I think a lot of people, when they started getting into OMAD, I'm like, I wouldn't do OMAD. I just, you know, one meal per day. I wouldn't do that, because it would be nearly impossible for me to sit down and eat the 2000 calories that my body needs and the nutrition I need in one meal. I would probably only eat maybe 1400, 1500 calories. And that would be all I could choke down in that one meal. And I would not be getting the calories I needed, or the nutrition I needed. So I think that's where a lot of it started to go a little south for me, was, look, you still need to eat as much food as your body needs, and you still need to get all of the nutrition that your body needs. This isn't permission for you to just not eat. That's where I think it went a little off kilter, is that, well, I'm just not going to eat enough. And yes, I'm losing the weight, but you're losing muscle mass. You're not getting the nutrition your body needs. And there's a whole lot of other things that you're doing. It's almost to the point of eating disorder.
No, I agree. I've actually added in a meal. You know, now I've tried a little bit of everything, but like, yeah, I found that I wasn't getting enough nutrients and calories for like my activity level. And like you said, especially as you get older, you know, you want to build and maintain muscle. And when you're fasting, you're putting yourself in a catabolic state, and your body's going to start breaking down tissues and things like that, and just that, you know, that are important when it comes to building. So you want to sort of balance being anabolic and catabolic. And that's why, you know, I'm not a big fan of one meal a day for most people, especially aging individuals, you know, 50 plus, 40 plus, where muscle mass is so important. And, you know, so.
Okay. So your stepladder system basically has 6 pillars. Can you talk a little bit about how we approach this and what this looks like?
Yeah. So, I mean, what I do within those 6 pillars is sort of take you through each of them. And we also do like an assessment, like where you're at with that. Like, for example, the first one is creating clarity. So I don't know if we want to touch on all of them, it's totally up to you. But the idea behind each of them were sort of these big pillars that I think everybody, almost like non-negotiables, that everybody should understand, like, okay, I have to do this, 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 and this. And, you know, and try my best to optimize each pillar of health. And obviously everyone's a little bit different, but I found that this was like these pillars are just the ones that like are keep coming up with everybody, no matter the person, sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, the way I looked at it is as I was reading through this, I was like, okay, this is not a ladder. This is a cycle. If you do this right, you go through each of these, you're going to find yourself on the other side of your goals and your aspirations. And like we talked, it's a journey. Guess what? You know, there's another ladder. Start climbing, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, briefly, if you'll briefly go through the 6, so we kind of have an idea what they are. And then, yeah, that'll work.
Okay. I mean, like I said, the first one was creating clarity, which is understanding like not only why you're doing something, but also understanding where you're at. Like I talk about in the book, a DEXA scan. Now, I don't know, you probably don't have DEXA scans where you live, Alan. Not right now, but in the States, they're fairly accessible. And if you don't want to do a DEXA scan, you can literally easily just take measurements, you know, body circumference measurements.
Got one right here.
There you go. Yeah, right.
Not a DEXA. It's a tape measure.
And also too, obviously how your clothes fit you is a big one. But I think having some type of measurement, I also think that understanding how much you're eating early on is maybe just not how much and what you're eating. So doing some, you can put it in a, you know, put it in like an app and just track that like for the first week or two, just understanding where you're at. And then from there, you know, once you understand sort of your baseline, you know, then it's about creating some type of ripple effect. I think this is really important because early on you want small wins, right? And you want to create momentum. I think you talked about it on my podcast. And so it's like early on, the low hanging fruit, like what are those like obvious things that, you know, you know, that, you know, you have to change. This could be, you know, maybe, you know, that you're late night snacking. And this is like one area that can just be, you can just not, I'm not saying it's going to be easy to get rid of it, but I'm saying, you know, this is low hanging fruit. That's going to make a big change or even a small change early on just to create momentum. So starting with that small change, something that could create a big result is number two. Number three is sleep. Obviously, we all know how important sleep is. And this is where you sort of build back up, right? This is your repair, your recovery time. So I'm always, I find as I've gotten older, I don't know about you, Alan, is really trying to optimize my sleep. I have a dog that tends to come in and out and will come on the bed, which is my fault. I have one dog that doesn't and one dog that does. So he'll wake me up, but even those little wake ups can disrupt sleep. And then I got to go to the bathroom, and then it's like quality sleep, really important. And that's, you know, we talk about in the book about building a routine, a sleep routine, which most people don't have. From there, I call it chill and relax, but that's just about stress. I mean, we know how stress could cause weight gain. So, you know, even, you know, chronic stress is obviously the worst type of stress. We're all going to have, you know, little stressors throughout the day, you know, like that's what, almost going back to fasting. Fasting is a stressor. Like I think someone who's really stressed out from work and family probably shouldn't be fasting or doing any type of fasting or cold plunging and stuff like that. I think you do those things because those all go into like a stress bucket, right? Yeah. So when you compound those things, that's when you can run into issues. And so stress, really important to understand, like at least grasp ways to counteract it or do some type of, you know, whether it's breathing or, you know, meditation. I love yoga. That's just my thing. And so we obviously talk about how stress is just something that's prevalent in most people's lives. So we get into managing that and then just like move like you mean it, I call it. So just like strength, no matter what the age, building muscle to build up and build joint integrity, you know, bone mass, really important as you age. So I think it's something like I talk about in the book, 3 to 8% of your muscle mass decreases per decade at a rate of decline. And then once you get to your 60s, it could be even more. So yeah. The problem I see with a lot of gyms is all the cardio and like even the gym I'm at, like they're starting to put in more resistance weights, but that should be at the forefront personally.
And that's not how we're going to design a gym. We want you to stop at the door and then walk back out. We're going to put those scary weights back there in the back.
There was a club at in Chicago called East Bank Club. I'll never forget walking in and hundreds of ellipticals and this. Don't get me wrong. I think there's a time and place for cardio, but I think that strength training for aging individuals, which is everyone, is important. Is really important because we all know what sarcopenia is and we want to avoid that. And then just eating. We get into nutrition again and we talk about obviously what's been going on with traditional diets and traditional standard American diets versus what, you know, we should be putting into our bodies. And, you know, this could, you know, not everyone's going to eat the same way. And I'm not dogmatic about that. I think we talked about it when you came on my show, is just the fact that people should focus on single ingredient foods as much as possible. I believe that's Yeah. Okay. That's all of it.
Well, yeah. And what I liked about this is, again, and this goes back to the things that you talked about earlier, is that you're not going in and trying to do all six steps of this ladder at one time. You're sitting down and you're being methodical and you're being, okay, you get clarity. And then you're like, okay, now I've got to fix my sleep. Now I've got to fix my stress. Okay, now I'm going to start really looking at what I'm eating and I'm going to start making some small changes until I feel like, okay, I'm moving forward with this. I've created some better habits. And then you start saying, okay, now I'm going to look at movement, or I think I got those backwards, but you know, you're looking at one item before the other and you're saying, okay, let me get this going, get comfortable with this. Growth is going to come by pushing outside of our comfort zone, but it's not going to come if you try to throw six things at yourself at the same time. So I like that it's a ladder idea because, you know, no one can think about climbing five rungs of a ladder at one time. You go one rung at a time. And if you're going to do it right, you have 3 points of contact at any given point on that ladder. So you're doing it safe. You're doing it right. So I do like that concept a lot. Thank you. Brian, I define wellness as being the healthiest, fittest, and happiest you can be. What are 3 strategies or tactics to get and stay well?
Oh, wow. 3 tactics?
Yeah. Doesn't have to be from the book, although I think the book is full of them, but just pick 3.
That's why I'm like, well, I'll just say like walking would be one of them. You know, it's something that, you know, hopefully most people can do, right? To some degree, like you talked about, you with your client, you even had that client start by just walking around their car as a lap, right? So like walking after meals, how about that? That'll be one. Number 2, some type of resistance training. And this could be body weight. You don't even need to use weights. You could start with your body weight and work from there. And then I think like some form of just you time where there's no phone, you know, there's no distractions, and it could be just sitting in silence. I just randomly on YouTube found a meditation and I did 10 minutes with my dogs. All of us just laid there. So I just think you don't have to be very spiritual, but I think some type of sort of just, especially nowadays, because we're just being thrown everything from like these apps, computers, phones. It's like, if you can just find 10 minutes out of the day to just lay there and with nothing, I think that would be my third tactic.
Okay, great, great. Thank you for that. Yeah. Brian, if someone wanted to learn more about you and your book, The Stepladder System, where would you like for me to send them?
Well, it's all on briangrin.com. The book can be bought as a PDF or as a hardcover on Amazon, or I should say a soft cover, which is right here if you're watching. And so you can get that on Amazon. But if you want just a PDF to pull up, that can be bought through briangrin.com or stepladdersystem.com.
Okay. You can go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/634, and I'll be sure to have those links there. Brian, thank you for being a part of 40 Plus Fitness again.
Alan, I'm glad I could come back. What is it, 6 years later?
6 years, yeah.
Crazy. Well, maybe we'll do it in another. Let's not wait six years.
Let's not wait six. I know. Let's do this again, definitely. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Alan.
Welcome back, Raz.
Hey, Alan. That was a really fun conversation. I like books like his with his stepladder plan because he's got like actionable steps. I appreciate the science when we talk about what carbohydrates do in the muscle and this and that, but I like to get to the meat of it and have something that I could do right off the bat that can in some way improve my health and fitness. I love it.
Yeah. And it fits into kind of what we do here. You know, I want you to come out of every episode with something that you can do. And so that's why at the end, I asked them for the tactics and strategies. And I even tell them, I said, while they're waiting for their book to arrive from Amazon, what should they do, you know, for health and fitness? That's kind of the mindset that we run across the whole thing. I go through and pick out parts of books because I know they're relevant to you and they're actionable. The things we're talking about, yes, we can get into the deep of it. And I love into the science and I mean, particularly when they start getting really, really deep. I just do. I want to hear how mm-hmm. someone's going to describe the Krebs cycle. I've now read probably 200 books that describe the Krebs cycle or the citric acid cycle, whichever way you were taught. And mm-hmm. it's extremely complex, but
very.
It has simple solutions on our side. It's almost like pull a lever, this happens, pull that lever, mm-hmm. that happens. Mm-hmm. It's pretty simple when you break it down like this to actionable steps.
And right off the bat, when you were discussing the 11 steps at the very beginning, one of the steps that I really just kind of chuckled out loud was, you will lose patience in the process. And my gosh, like I have lost patience anytime I've done anything having to do with my health and fitness. But I laughed out loud when he said, no one says that this happens so fast. No one loses weight fast. If it was a fast process, we wouldn't be in the position we're in today.
But someone else does. You know, they're always going to point, they lost that weight so fast. I wish I could. And that's not the right mind frame either. Mm-hmm. You know, the point of this is that fitness and weight loss take time. It's about consistency and chipping mm-hmm. away at it. And I know people can tell you, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day, or you didn't gain all that weight in a mm-hmm. year or a month. And it's true. Mm-hmm. But the point being is, what does quitting get you?
Right.
You know,
yeah, for sure. And you know, one thing I learned this year, Alan, since I've been on some thyroid medicine, it takes 6 weeks for my thyroid to respond to the medicine I'm getting. 6 weeks. That's a long time. And I've had another dose change. So that's 12 weeks of my body adjusting to this particular medicine. And it just really was a neon sign to me that this is the same thing that we deal with day in and day out with changing how we eat. If we eat differently, it could take weeks for the body to respond. If we exercise even consistently, weekly, daily, whatever we do, it could take weeks. Now, I know in weight loss, for certainly, we could lose a pound here, or ounces there, maybe 5 pounds, usually when you're just starting a whole new regimen. But it does take weeks, maybe months, possibly years, depending on how much you want to lose. So it's just, I particularly was fond of the ability to recognize you might lose patience.
Well, and again, how you feel is legitimate. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if you get angry, you get frustrated, those are legitimate feelings.
Sure.
And you should accept them for what they are. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as I said before, okay, what is the other option?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other option is to quit, and that's going to get you better results. And the answer is mm-hmm. no.
Right.
So if you know the things you're doing are right, you mm-hmm. just keep doing them.
Keep at it, for sure. Yep. And then the other thing that he mentioned was we go through plateaus, obviously. If anyone out there has ever done any weight loss program, you hit a plateau. But he pointed out, don't equate weight to health. And sometimes we get lost because we're always monitoring the scale to see if anything of what we're doing is making a difference. It's the lowest hanging fruit for sure, but it's not necessarily indicative of your overall health.
One of the problems, and again, it is what it is. Doctors like to talk about this mm-hmm. from the perspective of losing weight. Mm-hmm. They will weigh you when you walk into the doctor's office. First thing they do is weigh you. And then after you learn your weight, they then check your blood pressure. I think that's backwards. Mm-hmm. But they
yeah, right.
check your blood pressure before they check your weight. But
yes.
because it might mm-hmm. be a little lower. But the core of this is that they will tell you you need to lose weight when you have high blood pressure. They will tell you you need to lose weight when you have high cholesterol. They will tell you you need to lose weight almost anytime. If you're not the mm-hmm. perfect BMI, they're going to say you should lose some weight. Weight is very easy to measure. So that's one they can mm-hmm. tell you. They know you probably have a scale at your house. So it's easy for you to step on that scale and see some marker of success, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that weight loss is a side effect mm-hmm. of doing the things to make yourself healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So is feeling better. Mm-hmm. So is your skin looking better.
Mm-hmm.
So is you having more energy.
Oh, that's huge.
And I think those are so much more important than your weight.
Right.
Yes, being obese or morbidly obese does impact your health. That's why it says morbidly. That's why it's in the word, the description of it. And so, yes, there are reasons for you to try to keep yourself in kind of a healthy weight. Is mm-hmm. that based, is that BMI? I don't know. No one can sit there and tie BMI and say, you know, oh, your BMI is 25, so the likelihood you're going to die is that much more than someone else. No, there are people with BMIs well over 25 that are just fine. And there are people with BMIs of 16 that are not fine. So, you know, don't let the weight be the thing that it upsets you, because it is not straight line. And unfortunately, all the tools will tell you, you go on to MyFitnessPal, if you eat like you did today, you'll lose 25 pounds in the next 6 weeks. Well, guess what doesn't happen in the next 6 weeks? Because your body, your body is always going to be responding. If you're eating less food, your body's going to slow down some things and say, okay, well, nutrition's a little scarce, so we might have to shut down some of our immune functions, some of our sexual function. You might not be sleeping well and your body's higher stress. So cortisol's in your system and it's just not going to allow you to lose weight. Your insulin might be too high. And as a result, you're just not able to lose weight, at least not in a healthy way. Or you're just holding on to a little bit more water because it's the time of the month, or you had a little bit too much salt with the last meal and your body's retaining that liquid.
There's so many things. Yeah.
There's so much to it. And so don't get locked into the weight. If you're going to get locked into anything, when you wake up in the morning and you look at yourself in the mirror while you're brushing your teeth, how do your eyes look? How does your skin look? How do you feel? What's your energy level? You know, that is the measurement. And guess what? You don't even have to have a scale to do it. You just need a mirror.
I love that. That's perfect. I love his tips and his other, his six steps and his ladder plan. It was just a great book. I think this would be a really nice one to read.
It is. It does walk you through the process, which sometimes is just what we need. It's something we can just follow. Yeah. I'm not going to say to make it mindless, but to just make it where there's a structure to what you're doing. Sometimes you get that with a coach. In this case, you might be able to get it with a book.
I love that. That's super helpful.
All right. Well, I will talk to you next week.
Take care, Alan.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Next time on the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast, we meet Dr. Georgia Eady and discuss her book, Change Your Diet, Change Your Mind, A Powerful Plan to Improve Mood, Overcome Anxiety, and Protect Memory for a Lifetime of Optimal Mental Health. Until then, have a happy and healthy week.